So we're starting a new year tomorrow, another 365-day trip around the sun. And I got curious. You know, I talk to my phone, and my phone talks back to me. It tells me things. I can ask it questions. I was wondering how many hours a year is, and here are the figures, 8,765.82 hours in a year. And then I had to find out how many minutes were in a year. You have any idea? 525,949.2 minutes in a year. Tomorrow at this time, you will have lived that many minutes in the past year. And then, you know how many seconds there are in a year? This one really kind of blew me away. A lot. Okay, let's move on. 31,556,952 seconds. Now, the new year, we as people kind of give it significance. It's another trip around the sun, but it gives us a sense of beginning again, a fresh slate. On this trip around the sun, maybe you're thinking like I'm thinking, with God's help, I'm going to try to do some things differently. And 2017 will be added to all those years that have passed before it. And today we're going to look at a passage of Scripture. You probably know it well. If you've been a part of life of a church, it's spoken about a lot. Some of you might even be guessing at what passage. I think it's really some practical and relevant advice for us as we start a new year. So I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 13 through 16. We'll be looking at some of the verses before as well as we get into this passage. I want to read verses 13 through 16, and then we'll pray, and then we want to talk about this, what God has to say, some practical advice for us as we look at a brand new year out in front of us. So let's read here, starting in verse 13. Paul writes, he says, "No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it." And he's talking about something. We're going to look at what he was talking about. But he said this, "But I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead." Then he goes on to say in verse 14, "I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. But we must hold on to the progress we have already made." So he's talking about looking ahead, looking forward, not losing the things that we have gained. And that's, as we dig into it, there's some just very, very relevant and practical advice for us as we face a brand new year. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads and ask God to drive home some of what he has to say about life to our hearts and minds today. Father, thank you for your word. And though, Lord, we have read these words, many of us, many times through the course of our lives, Lord, they are still just as helpful and powerful for us today. And Lord, help us to take stock of what we hear and what we read today and help it to shape our lives in this coming year. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Paul writes to some believers and he says, in essence, he says, you know, I'm not there yet. I've not arrived. He said, in his own mistranslation, I've not achieved it. He said, but I'm pressing on. I'm after something. And there's a few thoughts. I want to share just three thoughts from this passage of Scripture today. As we look forward to a new year, 2018, the first thought today is this, to recognize there is still room to grow in our lives. We have not arrived. There's more that we need to comprehend and understand. I don't know about you, but for myself, I end up forgetting things I learned a long time ago. So we need to review these things. But Do you know, no matter how long you've been at this thing of following Jesus Christ, no matter who you are, where you've been, there is still room to grow. At this point in Paul's spiritual life, he had been a follower of Jesus for about 29 years. He was converted, they think, somewhere around 32, 33 A.D., and this is, they think this book was written maybe in 61 A.D. So about 29 or 30 years, Paul had been following Christ, had been leading congregations of followers of Jesus Christ. And he says there is still room to grow. Now, what was he talking about? What was he saying? I've not arrived yet. Let's take a look and see in verses 10 and 11 of this same chapter. And let's read here what he has to say. He says, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or the other or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. Paul is saying, there is more I need to know about my Savior. There's more I need to understand. He says, I'm not there yet. And what that brings up is this subject of growth, of growing as a follower of Christ. And another one of the early church leaders, his name was Peter, wrote to some believers. And let me read here. I'm going to ask the guys to pull it up. 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter is writing to believers. And he has this. I'm sorry, 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. He writes and says this: May God give you more and more grace and peace as you what? As you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Let's go down to verse 8 as well. Same chapter, chapter 1. He's written and he says the more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he lists there in that passage some things that followers of Jesus ought to be interested in, about moving forward and not just being stagnant in our relationship with Christ. But he's talking about growing. And then at the end of this book, he says one more time, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. He says, you know, do not be carried away by the errors that people bring forward and lose your secure footing. But he says, rather, you must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we understand that we are to be growing as followers of Christ, understanding more. And Paul, when he's writing to the people there in Philippi, he says, look, I recognize I still need to grow in my understanding, and I do not need to just stay where I have been. Paul says, I'm not there yet. He said, brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. Do you know what our tendency is? Our tendency is to look around and gauge our lives by the lives of others. Does anybody else here do that besides me? Well, and here's what we say. We wouldn't maybe say it out loud except to the people we're closest to. Well, at least I'm not like that. Has anybody ever said that? You ever thought that? I'm not going to ask you to get honest here today. I'm just going to ask you between you and God. This is comparing ourselves with others. And Paul writes to the Corinthian people, and this is 2 Corinthians chapter 10. He has something to say. He's been kind of bumped around by some of the folks there in the church, and they have been comparing themselves and elevating themselves. That's kind of what we tend to do, isn't it? When we compare ourselves, we prop ourselves up. But the mistake that we make in comparing is that we compare ourselves with other people. And look at this is what he says in verse 12. He says, don't worry, we wouldn't dare say that we are as wonderful as these other men who tell you how important they are, but they are only comparing themselves with each other, using themselves as a standard of measurement. And he says, how ignorant. Your translation may say, that's not wise. And the reason it's not wise is this, because often when we compare ourselves with others, we end up baselessly pumping up our pride. We find somebody who's struggling in an area, and we say, well, at least I don't do that. And we become prideful in this comparison. But maybe we have a different mindset and we become discouraged, and an unwarranted discouragement, because maybe you look at another believer in the body of Christ, the family of God, and they've been maybe struggling with a certain issue and they've gained some victory, and you think, I'm never going to grow to have victory over this or that. That's a mistake too when we compare ourselves. And the real problem with comparing ourselves is this, that we only see the surface, don't we? We don't see the interior of what's really going on. God sees those things, but we don't. And so it's a mistaken thing to compare ourselves. So if the first thing we would say this morning from this passage of Scripture is to realize, no matter where you are in your walk with Christ, hopefully you are growing. Hopefully you're growing in your knowledge and your understanding of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And hopefully it's becoming more and more valuable and precious to you. I think I'm seeing, as I'm getting a little bit older, some of the things that used to be so important are just not as important anymore. And I think that's the natural process. And I think my eyes are kind of opening to some facts. I'm seeing some things where there's greater value placed on other things. And I'm glad, and I hope to keep growing in that way. The second thing we want to take a look at, and that is this, and this is so valuable, and hopefully will be a help to somebody here this morning, and that is this: don't allow the past to control your future. And that's what he really points to this. Look at verse 13 again. If we could bring that passage up, Philippians 3 and verse 13. He says, no, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. It's interesting in this passage, and we're going to look at it. He says, don't focus and stay stuck on the past, either success or failure. And let's take a look now at some of the successes that, and he references them in this same chapter. Guys, could you bring up Philippians 3, verses 4 through 6? Paul says, we don't put confidence in human effort. You know one thing as you read through the New Testament. Our right standing with God is not based upon human effort. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he has saved us. So we understand that, and we declare that on a weekly basis here, lest we should forget that our salvation is not based in how well we are performing. By the way, aren't you glad that your salvation doesn't rest in how well you perform? Amen. Because you or me might leave this place today and fall flat on our face, spiritually speaking, morally speaking, ethically speaking. So we recognize our standing with God is based upon what he has done, all right? So Paul says, look, if you think that your own effort is what is tilting God's heart and ear to you, he said, let me tell you something. Let me just share a few things with you. And he reads off his credentials, and then he reads off his achievements. So I'm going to read starting in verse 4, and I'm going to read through verse 7. Let me read here. He says, though I could have confidence in my own effort, if anyone could, indeed, if others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew. Now, to you and I, as we read that, it doesn't maybe register, but there were two tribes that had elevated status in Israel, Benjamin and Judah. They were the ones who returned from the exile. And so when he said, hey, I'm from Benjamin, he was saying, I am on the right side of the tracks in this deal. So he says, these are my credentials. He says, I was also a member of the Pharisees who demanded the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. The Pharisees prided themselves because they kept all the laws in the Bible, and then they added some more to it. So they were really righteous in their own eyes. So he said, I was a part of that group. He said, I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church, and as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. Now here's his estimation of his own achievements. Look at verse 7. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. And so he has an estimation there of his own achievements. And sometimes when we achieve and are blessed to have success or victory in some area in our life, sometimes we camp out there. We just park right there, and we do not move forward. And so Paul is writing to these believers, and it's a good message for us today, because maybe you've had a great year, spiritually speaking. Maybe you have recognized there is some real growth and some understanding, and you've stepped out and challenged your faith in some ways, and you stepped up to the plate, and spiritually speaking, and boy, you think, God, you're showing me things. You're even using me in some way. Don't stay there. But you know, it's not just in success, but it's also in failures. And you know, Paul had some failures. I'd like to turn to a verse that I find encouraging. This is the Apostle Paul writing, leader of the early church, one of the leaders there, and was used by God to write scripture. But here's what he has to say, that he had made some mistakes, and he had some failures in his life. I'm going to read here 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 16. He writes and says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength to do his work. He considered me trustworthy and appointed me to serve him, even though I used to blaspheme the name of Christ. In my insolence, I persecuted his people, but God had mercy on me because I did it in ignorance and unbelief. Oh, how generous and gracious our Lord was. He filled me with the faith and love that come from Christ Jesus. Now here's where he really starts getting honest. He said, this is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them all. But God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience with even the worst sinners. Then others will realize they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. So Paul said, this is what I am. I wasn't even paying attention to God. I thought I was, but it was certainly in ignorance and unbelief. And do you know, when Paul wrote this to Timothy, he hadn't forgotten, because it was about 30 years later. He still said, 30 some years later, he said, I have not gotten there yet. I've not arrived. There's still things I've got to learn. There's still room to grow. But you know what else he said? God had mercy on me. And I'm glad that he penned these words, because it's a reminder to us. Sometimes we get real impressed with our own efforts, don't we? And we see other believers who may be struggling in an area, and we get pretty self-righteous as Christians. That gets hanged on us, doesn't it? That somehow we have maybe struggled with an area in our lives, and God gives us strength and helps us to overcome sin and temptation, and all of a sudden we become, you know, Mr. Know-it-all, Mr. Got It All Figured Out. And Paul, 30 years later, would say, you know, I know what I am. God knows what I am, and because of his mercy, he can take this life and do something with it. Are you glad for that?
Amen.
I know I am. And he hadn't forgotten. So here's the message in this. Do not allow the past to control the future, either past success or even past failures. You know, we think of the victories and enjoy those. We should thank God for them. And as he wrote there, we read in verse 16 of Philippians 3, he said, do not lose what you've already gained. Do not let go of the victories and the things that you've learned, but continue to go forward. I found this. This fella, Albert Einstein, has said some things that have really kind of caught my attention. And he had a formula for success in life. He said this: if A equals success, you know the A equals, okay? So he said, if A equals success, then the formula is A equals X plus Y plus Z. Some of you algebra folks will appreciate this. X is for work, Y is for play, and Z is keep your mouth shut. That's what he said. So, you know, what he was pointing to, and this, he also said this, not everything that counts can be counted. I've shared this before with you. And he said, and not everything that can be counted counts. What an important lesson in this life to understand that some things are truly valuable, eternally valuable. And so we speak today about not just camping out on success and so-called resting on our laurels if God has granted success and hard work has been a part of it, and just staying there, but neither your failures, not allowing any failures that you may have had in this past year to keep you and me from growing, from knowing Christ and making him known in 2018. I can't really speak for you all. I can only speak for me. But I'm going to take a guess and say that each of us has failed in some way in our lives in this past year. And those failures can create painful memories. The important part of this is not allowing past failures to continue to control what can go on in our future. And that's such an important message. And Paul really speaks about it here. I want to turn to another verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I'll ask if the guys could bring that up as well. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Paul writes to those believers, he says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. And when we come to put our faith in Jesus Christ, our sins of our past have been forgiven. And when we trust in him, that forgiveness becomes a reality in our lives. When it dawns on us that all the stupid, wicked things that we have done in the course of our lives, in God's sight, are forgiven. Boy, that will light you up, won't it? To know that I don't have to keep dragging those things through life with me. And when that becomes a reality in our lives, to know that in Christ there is true forgiveness for us. When we receive that forgiveness, it allows us to forgive ourselves. And here, I remember someone say it one time when I was struggling with forgiving myself over some idiotic thing I had done. And they said to me, I was, you know, honest enough to say to them, I just can't forgive myself. You know what this person said? It was great advice. Bruce, if the God who created this universe has said that he would forgive you, who do you think you are not forgiving yourself in this matter? And so it's important for us to realize that as we look at a new year, not to dwell on the past, but instead to concentrate on our relationship with him now. Certainly, if there are things that need to be made right from our past, it's wise to go ahead and make those circumstances and situations right as much as we are able to. But not to dwell on the past, but to be looking to what God can do in the future. Here's the third thought that I share today, and that is this, that determination is needed. Let's take a look at verse 14. Going back to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14. He writes to folks, and that just gets me so many times, that the people we read about in the Bible, probably a whole lot like you and I are. You know, they would go to work. They would have their families. They had things going on in their families. They had things going on at work. They had things going on in their neighborhoods. But this is some very, very helpful advice for us. Look at verse 14. It says, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Devotion, direction, but also determination. And it speaks of intense endeavor, really going after it, really saying this is important in my life. Forgetting the past, not getting hung up on what's happened in the past, but looking to what is out there in the future and what God can do in our lives, but going after it. You know, it's so important to realize that God has said that He has forgiven our sins. Does that mean that God has somehow got an issue with memory? No, it doesn't. It just means He's not allowing our failures to completely overshadow all the rest of our existence. And I'm glad for that. Breaking the power of the past by living for the future. And if there's ever an example, the person we're reading from today is the Apostle Paul. Could you imagine what it would have been like for Paul? You know, if you read, at first when Paul, having been converted, shows up, the Christians don't want anything to do with that guy. There's one guy who's got enough nerve who'll go over and talk to him, Barnabas, and hang out with him. Nobody wants to be around him. Why? Because he was killing the early Christians and dragging them into court. So Paul, if anybody who'd said, you know what, I can't even lift my head around. I can't even look you in the eye. But that's not what we see. Let's go back and take a look at 1 Timothy chapter 1 and see what he has to say, because it is such an important example for us in our lives, that God's forgiveness and what He has done to reconcile us and make us right with Him does not have to completely shadow our life going forward. Sadly, some people keep dragging shame and guilt from their past and things that have happened in the past. Look, it's forgiven. It's forgiven. In fact, Paul says the very thing that had happened, God's using to show other people that there's hope for them too. And that's what I want to show you this verse. Let's read verse 16 again. But God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of His great patience with even the worst sinners. Then others will realize that they too can believe in Him and receive eternal life. You know, the events of the past did not change for Paul. He still did the things he did. Do you agree with that? That didn't change. But his understanding of what happened certainly did change, that God could take even those failures. I mean, you talk about somebody missing what God was wanting to do. Paul was missing it. Would you agree? So much so that he had a personal visitation from the Lord to say, what in the world are you doing, Paul? What do you think you're doing? And so Paul said, these are the very things that God can do. So determination is needed. Now, here's a question for each of us today. What kind of determination are you and I putting into our spiritual life? I'm not going to ask you to answer this out loud, but I want all of us to think about it, because I did some thinking on it working on this message. Are we putting as much commitment and effort into our spiritual life, our life with God, as we are other interests? Or does our spiritual life continually take a back seat to all the other pursuits in our lives? Paul said, I press on. I am serious about this. This is important. And friends, it is important. You know, there are two extremes to avoid in this matter, and one is, I must do it all. I've just got to do it all. The other extreme is, well, God's going to do it all. There's a phrase that's used, and it applies, but it does not apply in every circumstance in life. It applies many, many times. You ever heard the statement, let go and let God? I think it's speaking about worry. How many of you have added an inch to your stature by worrying about it? It just doesn't happen. Some things we worry and worry about in life, and it doesn't change the outcome. But it's not a correct statement for the whole Christian experience. And I want us to take a look at a passage. It's in Philippians as well, chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. And we say this a lot. You know, God will go to work in our lives, but He wants you and me to show up. He wants us to be present. And sometimes when people take that attitude, well, you know, just let go and let God, I don't even have to show up. It's just going to happen. I want us to take a look at this and see if what Paul has to say here strikes a better balance than that. Let's look at verses 12 and 13 of Philippians 2. Dear friends, you have always followed my instruction when I was with you, and now that I am away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. That's showing up, working hard. That's determination. That is, I'm engaged in this thing of a life with God. It's not just something where I go in Sunday morning and punch the clock, but it is a part of who I am. Wherever I go, whatever I'm doing. Here's what he says, look in verse 13. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. So that's God working, and that's you and I working, engaged, doing what God has called us to do. And running the race. I'm going to close with this passage of Scripture, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. I'm seeing it just got a little too comfortable in here today. You know, on these days where it's colder outside, it's hard to keep it, unless we just take it down to about 68 degrees and then everybody will be chattering. I'm about to finish up here. We read these verses, 12 of Hebrews 1 through 4. The writer says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated at the place of honor beside God's throne. And think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. After all, you have not yet given your lives in your struggle against sin. And so we close with this very thought today, that we have been called to something, and that is to grow, to know Christ, to make him known, to live out this experience of being a follower of Jesus Christ in a world where many people aren't interested in him. Now let me just tell you this before we wrap it up. In this race, you're going to get bumped around. You're going to get weary. And you're going to get discouraged in this. The key is do not give up. Just keep on keeping on. Keeping your eyes on Jesus. Don't look at the pastor. I'm telling you, I'm just in the race too. I'm just trying to do what God has called me to do. Certainly, we should be examples. But if you got any sensibility, you know that no man or woman is without fault, and we all have our failings. It's Jesus who we continue to look for encouragement to. But if you get knocked down, somebody in the church doesn't like something you made and you brought it in and you just can't wait to share it, don't let that knock you down. You're stepping forward at work to represent Christ, and somebody just cuts you off at the knees. Don't give up. Just keep on keeping on. That's the determination. That's what he said. I press on. I press on. And as we've said before, it's not always going to look pretty. But you know what? You'll be glad you did. You'll be glad you did. Let's all stand. We're going to have a time of invitation. Eddie, could you put on number 3, please, for us? All right? And we've got a song of invitation. These 3 thoughts, there's still room to grow. If you showed up today and you think you got it all wrapped up, neatly packaged, I'm sorry to burst your bubble. Even Paul said, almost 30 years later, hey, I'm still working on this. And then don't allow the past to control the future. Boy, what a message for us. In Christ, there is real forgiveness. And that means we can forgive ourselves and not allow the stuff that would shame us and cause us to just shut our mouths, we're forgiven. Let's get out and do something different than what we've done in the past. And then this last one, it's going to take determination. It's not always easy. I wish I could stand here today and tell you, look, this thing of following Jesus in your life, it's a piece of cake. It's the easiest thing you ever... It's not that way, friends. But I'll tell you, you realize the value of it. And you realize, will realize it even more and more so. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for this, this timeless advice in your word for us. Lord, help each of us today, Lord, to be encouraged as we leave this place and face a new year with uncertainties, sure, but also opportunities. And Father, help us to be determined to press on when we get knocked down, when we get our knees cut out from underneath us. Lord, help us to get back up. Give us the strength. Help us to keep our eyes on you and run the race that you've given for each of us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.